Good morning, everyone. Appreciate your presence in so much for this worship service. We have a good number in the building, and we have several online. So whether you're in the building or online, we appreciate you gathering with us for this worship service. We're so glad everyone is here. To begin our worship service, I'd like to read a scripture. This is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, the truth is not in him, and he is a liar. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we're in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandments to you, but the old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now we worship in song with Brother Phil Gillip leading singing.
Would you please stand with me as we sing Praise Him, Praise Him.
Oh,
seated. In prayer, we'll sing one more song, Majesty, and then we'll go to our Father in prayer.
Glory, power, and praise. Let us go to God in prayer. Our most gracious and all-wise Father, we come before you this morning just in such great gratitude. Lord, you have blessed us beyond measures. We know that, you know, things are very difficult for as we're living in times these days within our country, but also we stop and think and realize just how fortunate we have been within our country. And for most of the other countries around the world, they've not known as much as we have as far as having as much physical needs. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with our country. We pray, dear Father, that you will be with those who lead. We pray, dear Father, that in some way that they will, you know, we want our leaders to open their eyes daily to look to you. We pray that that they will make decisions based upon your word. Lord, we pray we've been truly blessed. We pray for our congregation here. Lord, we are thankful for our leadership, the shepherds who serve this congregation. And we know that this has been a very difficult year for them in making decisions on how to go about each day. We pray that you'll continue to be with them and give them strength, give them courage, and all means just as they turn to you. We're thankful for our ministers as they labor here, and we continue to ask that you'll be with them and strengthen them, dear Father, in the daily walk. We thank you so much for the greatest blessings of all, and thy Son, Jesus, who gave his life upon that cross. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us in our walk each day, that we can bring light upon on him. We can bring honor and glory, that we realize that you know, we go about so many different tasks, whether it's work, school, or play, but the bottom line is that it's all about in service to you, to your word. Father, we pray that you'll continue to be with each one that we hear. Lord, there are so many that are struggling at this time with health issues. So many that are grieving because of loss of loved ones. And Father, we just need to turn to you because you're the only answer that we have. We pray to Father that you'll help this congregation to continue to be a light upon this community. We pray to Father that we will be able to reach out and to those who do not know you, that we'll be able to be an example unto them. And we continue to ask you to be with us as we continue with this service. We pray that all things done will be in accordance with thy will. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Before we have a reading from God's Word and Brother Tim brings our lesson, we'll sing the victory chant, and then we'll have that reading.
Hail Jesus, you're my King. Jesus, you're my Lord.
All right, we are beginning the children's training class this morning, so now is a good time for them to be taken there. And this morning, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. If you will, turn with me to Psalms 34, 4 through 10. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
When I first woke up this morning, it was totally dark. But then the sun rose, and we are glad for that. It does that. But we appreciate the sun because of the light it sends upon the earth and the warmth it brings to the earth. And in the same way, we are so thankful for God, who never sets. His light is always bright. The warmth he gives us in our lives is always wonderful. And that's one reason we come together to praise him, to worship him, as we do on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, at other times. And it is so good to come together in the house of God to worship him. And it's so good to see you. You are a blessing to us. Those of you who are in the building this morning, those of you who are joining us online by video or audio, we're glad that we can gather together. And as has been the case the last several weeks, we continue to see people coming out that we haven't seen for a while. And we just rejoice in that. It's that way again today. There are some here this morning we've not seen in a while. And we are thankful that you now feel comfortable in coming out. And hopefully it won't be too much longer before all of us can gather as we have loved to do through the years. But we're glad you're with us today. We invite you to come back again this evening at 6 o'clock. Lord willing, we will meet again at that time for worship. And this being the fifth Sunday of the month, it will be a singing service tonight. It will not be outside because the weather is getting a little chilly, I'm told. And so we're going to do our singing here in the auditorium. But these are always wonderful times of enjoyment, praising God in song. And if there is a song you've not heard in quite a while, this is your opportunity to let it be known. And who knows, it may be one that gets led. But we're so glad that you are here. If you're visiting with us, and I know there are some who are visiting, we're really glad you're here. And if we can help in any way while you're in our area, please let us know. We'll be glad to do anything that we can to help. I'm also very thankful that we have the children's training class going again. That's actually been happening the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we just haven't been announcing it as we should have been. But thank Earl for reading that part this morning and reminding those with the young children that that option is now available, and it is down in the old office wing back where the fellowship area used to be. So thankful for the Gillums and the work they're doing with that outreach. But now I urge you to get your Bible and open it with me. I do want you to turn to the passages that you'll see listed on the screen, and that way you can read for yourself as I read them out loud and make sure that what I'm telling you is really what the Word of God says. And so let's get into our study for this morning. Now, first of all, if you dig into your insurance policies, particularly homeowners insurance, you're going to find very likely a provision that talks about acts of God. Acts of God. Now, what are they talking about? Are they religious insurance companies? Well, here's an excerpt from the Hartford in how they define acts of God. An act of God is an accident or event resulting from natural causes without human intervention, and one that could not have been prevented by reasonable foresight or care. For example, insurance companies often consider a flood, earthquake, or storm to be an act of God. Fire can also be an act of God if it starts from lightning strikes. And if you notice, everything they describe there as an act of God is bad. It's a flood, it's an earthquake, it is a fire, you know, a tornado. It's all disastrous. And that's how we become accustomed to thinking as we hear the idea act of God. But is not an act of God also when the sun is shining and it's a beautiful day? Or in the springtime, as the weather warms and the blossoms begin coming out on the trees and in the flowers, and in the autumn, as we're in now, and the harvest comes in, and we're led to give thanks to God. Are those not acts of God? Well, of course they are. And today, that's what we want to focus on, is the idea that our God is good. Now, there have been times where God has done things that have been very difficult for people, even lethal because of his punishment, perhaps. But over and above everything else, our God is good. And knowing that idea is so important, especially for times of adversity. So let's look together at this idea in the Bible. Let's remind ourselves that our God is good. It's an idea you can find just about anywhere in the Bible. So let's take a few minutes and look at it in a few places. First of all, not everybody sees God as good. In fact, there have been many occasions where people have said, well, I don't want to serve a God like that, if there is a God after all. And even in the Bible, there have been those times. Let's look beginning in Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 is what we'll read in a minute. And now, in this passage, Ruth and her daughter-in-law, Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, are coming back to Bethlehem. That's where Naomi is from. And years before, she and her husband and her two sons had left there seeking a place where they could find food. There was a great famine going on in the land. And so for their lives, they had to leave and go find a better place. And now she's coming back without her husband, without her two sons. They've all died. And as she walks into town, the women are greeting her, saying, Naomi, and Naomi is a word that means pleasant. But she says this in Ruth chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. She said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which is a word in the Hebrew that means bitter. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? And you see there how Naomi is talking about acts of God. She's saying it was God that brought all of this upon me, that has made my life bitter. He's the one that brought calamity upon me. And here is a case where somebody says, God, good? I don't believe that anymore. I don't see that. There's no evidence in my life. You can also see it in the book of Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12. This is not long before Judah is going to be invaded by Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar will bring in his troops. And they will destroy the land because Israel had been warned time and again, do not turn away from God. And yet they had. And so here we find in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12, God talking about certain people in the land. Here's what he says. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good. nor will he do ill. It sounds like God isn't going to do anything according to them. And that's what they're saying. God, you know, well, maybe in the past he was active, but no more. He's not going to do good. He's not going to do ill. He's just not a force to be considered anymore. And there's a lot of people like that today that say, well, I know that people have long believed in God, but, you know, who believes that anymore? God doesn't do things. And then another place in Lamentations, Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18. Here we have the prophet Jeremiah, and this is after the destruction has come into the land. And Jeremiah is a God-fearing man. He is a prophet of God. And yet he's looking around. He has seen all of the devastation. Likely he has seen many dead bodies. And here's what he says in Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 16. He, talking about God, he has made my teeth grind on gravel. That hurts to even think about it, doesn't it? He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. My hope has perished. Now, Jeremiah was a great man. But Jeremiah is like all people. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed by tragedy and by terrible things happening. And we say, where is God? And that's what he's saying there. He's made my teeth grind on gravel. Lord, what is going on here? Why have you done this? And we talked a couple of weeks ago about David in Psalm 13. Psalm 13 and verse 1. And listen again to what he said in that psalm. Psalm 13 verse 1. This is David, a man after God's own heart. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And again, David. They don't come any better than David in the flesh. And yet David was going through some kind of trial, and it made him say, Lord, you've forgotten me. How long will I have to go through all of this? It is a fact that evil is all around us. In fact, the problem of evil, or the problem of pain, as it's sometimes referred to, is one of Satan's most effective weapons. He says, why are you suffering like this? I mean, isn't there a God in your life? Don't you believe in a God who is all powerful, who is all loving? And yet look at you, you're going through terrible things, and there must not be a God, or if there is one, he doesn't care about you. And many people have succumbed to trials, and they've given up their faith because of the sufferings they're having to go through. And that's why we need to remind ourselves over and over again, our God is good. Our God is good. Let me begin in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Because there the Apostle Paul recognizes, yeah, God can be pretty severe. That's the word he uses there. Listen to what he says, Romans 11 verse 22. He says, now note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. Paul doesn't try to deny it. Sometimes God is severe. The wrath of God is described often throughout the Bible, and I don't want to be close to it when it happens. And thankfully, he has provided the means to escape that wrath, to avoid being the object of that wrath. And then that's what Paul is saying there. Yes, we see the severity of God. It is all too obvious. But let's not overlook the kindness. The King James and the New King James will say the goodness of God. And that's exactly the idea. Our God is a good God who desires to bless. Now, when he is forced to it, when people rebel against him and do things they shouldn't, then his severity is made known. But over and above all of this darkness There is a God who is good. Let's look at a few passages just to really reinforce that idea in our minds. I'll start out in the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. And you know that in Genesis 1, we're talking about the creation of the world. In 6 days, God created everything that is out of nothing. And before we get to verse 31, there have been 6 different times where the writer says, God looked at what he made on day 1, day 2, day 3, and so on, and saw that it was good. It was good. And now listen to what he says in verse 31 as sort of a summary. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the 6th day. And he rested on the 7th, because now creation had been completed. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. We can see the goodness of creation. Yes, there are times when creation goes haywire, and there are hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and all of that. But I mean, look outside today. Is there not beauty all around us? Do we not rejoice in the pleasant temperatures that come our way? And when things get dry, we rejoice at the rain that replenishes life on earth. And we could list hundreds of ways in which the creation of God is good. Now, how did that happen? Because creation was done by a good God. That was his desire, to make it good. He didn't have to make colors. He didn't have to make pleasant taste and smells. He did it all because he wanted to show us some of his goodness. Now look with me at Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Here's another indication of the goodness of God. And this is Moses talking to his father-in-law. The father-in-law just happens to come upon the scene. Moses is leading the Israelites toward the promised land. And Moses wants him to join them and go with them. And here's what he says in Numbers 10, verse 29. Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will do good to you. For the Lord has promised good to Israel." And he had. God had promised good things for Israel. I mean, they were walking into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. That's how the spies described it. It was a lush and fertile land. It was going to provide them with housing that had already been built, and trees that had already been planted, and crops that had already been sown. And God had promised good to Israel. And that's why Moses could say, "Come with us. We'll do good for you because our God has promised good for us." There again, the goodness of God is made very clear. And then we turn to the passage that was read for us earlier in Psalm 34. Go back to that and let's look at Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. These are words that we probably have heard a number of times, but it continues to be one of my favorite verses. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." And thus you see again, God's goodness is highlighted. Just taste and see. I mean, Chick-fil-A built their empire on that, didn't they? They would come out into the hallways of the malls and say, "Here, have a sample." And wow, I think I'll go in and buy one of those sandwiches. Well, that's what he's saying here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who put their trust in him, who find their refuge in him, because he's going to do them good. And then John chapter 14. Let's turn our attention now to the New Testament, because now the goodness of God bursts forth in a way that we'd never seen it before. We're talking about the life of Jesus. And why would we say that? Well, in John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip, the apostle, had asked Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. I mean, we want to see what he looks like. And this is Jesus' response in John 14 and verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How then can you say, show us the Father? So there's the idea. Look at the life of Jesus. You're going to see the Father. What kind of God do we serve? Look at the life of Jesus as it is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as other passages throughout the epistles and in the book of Revelation. And you're going to find Jesus shows us a wonderful God. And in fact, let's let Jesus say it himself. Go to Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Luke chapter 7 and verse 22. This is where John the Baptist has sent some of his disciples to Jesus with a question. John is in prison. He knows his life probably isn't going to last much longer. And he says, ask this question of Jesus. Are you the one to come, or do we look for another? Now, why John asked that, we can debate that. Maybe he was doubting Jesus. Maybe he was trying to help them see how wonderful Jesus is. But here's how Jesus responded. Luke chapter 7 and verse 22. He answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. And what had they seen and heard? The blind received their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. Now, what among all of that is not good? And I think we'll all say, if we're honest, well, it's all good. I mean, everything that Jesus did in the flesh, according to this, according to the Gospels, it was all good. Now, remember what he said in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God is good. And again, it just shows us that we can trust him, even when things aren't going the way we thought. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, another quick statement of the nature of God, especially as revealed in the life of Jesus while he was on earth. Here is Peter in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and Cornelius wants to know, who is this Jesus? I've been hearing about him. And here's some of what Peter said in Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. That's how you sum up the life of Jesus in the flesh. He went about doing good. And our God that we cannot see, how do you sum up his nature? He goes about doing good. And that's our faith. That is our trust. And James describes it in this way in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Listen to what he says here. Let's think this through, because at first it sounds a little obscure. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, that latter part often stumps people. Well, what is he talking about? You know, no variation, no shadow. Let me read to you a different translation. This is the New Century Version translation of that same verse. Every good action and every perfect gift is from God. These good gifts come down from the Creator of the sun, moon, and stars, who does not change like their shifting shadows. And as you see on the screen, there is a display. Now, that's not all different moons. That's just the different phases that our moon goes through. And you know that. Sometimes you look up and you say, oh, wow, a full moon. And other times, where is the moon? You can barely see a sliver of it. It changes. And James says that's not the way God is. Our God is constant in his goodness. He is always the giver of good gifts and perfect gifts. And you don't have to wonder, is he going to come through for me? He will. He will in the way that he knows is best and is right. Allen Webster, and you may know him by name, he is the one who began that service called House to House, Heart to Heart, and Polishing the Pulpit down in Sevierville. He wrote a tract, he's wrote a lot of tracts, but one of them is entitled A Word Found on Every Page of the Bible. And what would you think that word would be? It's not the word page. That's not the word that he's thinking about. But it's the word love. Now, literally, the word love does not appear on every page of the Bible. But everything in the Bible is about the love of God. And I think we could substitute there, goodness is on every page of the Bible. The goodness of God is embedded. And that's not surprising. If God loves us, then God wants to be good to us. Our God is good, even when difficult times come. A.W. Tozer put it this way, the goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend. There's just no way we will fathom the depths of his goodness because he is so good to us. We've been noticing how the temperatures are beginning to get chilly. Almost got down to a frost here, and in other places like up on top of Rome Mountain, some of our members will tell us it did frost last week. And some people dread that. They say, oh my goodness, I hate this time of year. How can I ever endure this? And yet the fact that we can look at the calendar and see that, hey, there's a month called March, and that's not too far away, and then April, and things will begin to warm up and thaw out, and it will be nice. That keeps us going, doesn't it? Even through the cold and the darkness of winter. Charles Spurgeon made that idea with what we're talking about. He said, remember the goodness of God in the frost of adversity. Remember the goodness of God in the frost of adversity. There's no doubt hard times come and they go. There's no doubt we are going through a hard time. It's not as hard as it has been, but it's still hard. But do we doubt that our God is good? Let's refresh our faith. Let's get back into the Word and read those many occasions where God came through for his people when times were difficult. And know that God will do that for us because he's still God. He is still all-powerful. He is still loving and merciful. Is he your Father? Have you submitted to him by obeying the gospel? Simple plan of salvation. It's laid out in several passages throughout the New Testament. Peter puts it very simply in Acts 2. The first time the gospel was preached, the people listening, many of them believed what he said about Jesus, and they were pricked in their heart. They felt remorse for their sins, and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says in Acts 2, verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That hasn't changed. That is still the plan of God. And this morning, if you've not obeyed that simple plan of salvation, we urge you to do it this morning. If you're in the building, we're ready. If you're watching or listening, let us know by sending a message through the email on your screen or calling us or whatever, and we'll do all we can to make it happen quickly. And if, as a child of God, you've not been faithful, you've doubted God, you've turned away from him, come home. He still loves you. He's like the father of the prodigal son, waiting and watching. And when he sees you coming back, he will run to meet you because he wants to forgive. If you'll repent of your sins, confess them. If they need to be confessed publicly, we'll pray together and God will forgive. Why don't you make that choice if you need to? as we stand together and sing.
Please be seated. Just a moment, we'll be sharing the Lord's Supper together. Before that, we'll sing, "I Gave My Life for Thee."
I gave my life.
Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself. And he said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. John 12:27-33. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for that perfect lamb sacrifice that was lifted up for us. We thank you now for this memorial that we can remember Jesus who left his home with you to come and die on that cross and taste death for us. Help us to remember that scene. In Jesus' name, amen. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this fruit of the vine that represents Jesus' precious blood. That blood that washes away our every sin and allows us to stand pure and holy before you. We thank you again for this memorial. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. We know that every good gift comes from you. And you have blessed us with blessings that are pressed down and running over. As we give back, help us to do so in a cheerful manner. Be with those that oversee these funds that they may do the best, they may be used in the best way to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we're so thankful for this service. We pray that we may take it to heart and realize every day how good you are to us, and thank you. Thank you so much for all your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.